What is up, fellow humans and mutants alike? I am Kyle. I am with Danny. And we are going back into Fall of X. Today, we are covering Jean Grey issue number one, Realm of X issue number one, and Dark X-Men issue number one.
We're just throwing Dark of X.
Dark of X?
Dark of X.
Dark of X. I can't see him.
You're going to keep the alliteration. Actually Dark of 10?
Fall of 10 presents Dark of X's 10 of Men.
10 Angry Men, issue number one. We're going to find out. Is Madeline Pryor guilty?
Is she maybe a demon beast? Is she a dirty whore? Oh, that's mean.
Listing things she is.
I mean, she is, but I mean, sometimes you don't, dirty whores, you stumble onto, I'm going to just stop talking. Well, let's move on.
That's a good segue.
Besides, we'll just start off up front, pretty rough ride besides Dark X-Men for the most part. I enjoyed Dark X-Men, but the other two were Jean Grey is going to be a little confusing, and Realm of X, I just couldn't keep interested. I was zoning out every three pages on this guy personally, which sucks because I like Danny Moonstar.
I mean, art wise, it was
fucking
really
magic too.
Well, and art wise, it was a nice romp through all these really well illustrated panels. But story wise, I kind of got lost in like the noise.
And they even got like the writer is his name is Torin Grønbæk, so they got like a straight up Nordic dude to write a relative, because this takes place in Vanaheim for the most part.
It uses one of the realms of the pretty much Asgard mythology, or well, the Norse mythology specifically, for like the tree of life and all how that all plays out. But the weird thing was is that it was such a weird area to bring it in, like kind of shoehorn next to like, okay, the Fall of X is happening, the gala is ending, everybody's getting pulled into this realm, and now the story's playing into the realm, and you're like, well, wait, I'm more interested in the Fall of X stuff. Like, this realm stuff is cool, and I actually like Norse mythology a lot, but I feel like these two were two opposing forces that were fighting for a focus that kind of pulled away from both stories.
Agreed.
Yeah. And that's what muddied it down. But art wise, it was like, whoa, this is cool. And like the characters design and their actual portrayal were really cool. They introduced a lot of interesting Norse characters that were really funny and kind of fit their kind of archetype that they built in the Marvel universe.
Right.
But overall, it just did not work. I'm not really excited about any more Realm of X.
No, this is let's get into it. We might as well just start with this one.
Yeah.
So let's crack this bitch open. So we started off with magic, right? And she's waking up in her dress still. Everyone's still dazed from the Hellfire Gala. When all of a sudden she looks over and, like, we get, like, Marrow and Typhoid Mary and
of course.
And Danny Moonstar. Just going full frontal on these demons and this giant pig monster.
Yeah, it's like they're getting assaulted by some sort of bandit group of demons and pig monsters.
Yeah. So they kind of take on this attack, and that's when they're met with this, forgot his name already. And they even make fun of him. He's like, what do they call him? Like, knockoff something. They call him knockoff something later on. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, he's like knockoff Thor or something like that. Yeah, maybe something a little more deep cut, but none of it gripped me enough to remember.
Yeah. No, not that great. They come in, they're doing stuff. Typhoid Mary's here. Oh, she was kind of there, but not like doing anything. She's hanging back, right?
Dust is there.
Dust, right. That's who that is. Okay.
That's always all the sand is.
Yes. All right. That makes
She's
sense.
There at sand.
Annoying people with the fucking dust, man. Messing my allergies up.
It's getting into everything. It's
ridiculous. I need a freaking humidifier because of you.
She dusts off all these pig monsters.
She dusts them off. She's like, wow, dust everywhere. Fuck your sinuses.
and they leave
and they bail, and this is when they meet these four guys, or these like warrior guys, and they're what's happening, what do they come across here when they meet? Okay, here's his name, Trablin, leader of the House Molt, and that's when they realize they're in Vanaheim. And Danny Moonstar, who is a Valkyrie, she's just like, I know this shit. That's not good. Why are we here?
Yeah.
I don't know. We all shouldn't be here. But essentially, he's talking about a curse, right? What's this curse that they're talking about, Danny?
Well, they say that magic is cursed. Mm-hmm. They like talking nonsense about that, and she's like, "We gotta ignore that. We gotta figure out what's happening with the gala." And then they cut abruptly, and we go off to
yeah. So then we go like moments before to this thing. This is Lisa Simpson.
She looks like
Lisa Simpson.
Mutant Lisa Simpson that I don't recognize. But I guess we're supposed to know her, maybe.
Yeah.
She's one of those weird new mutants, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Wasn't she one of the like new mutants? Yeah. Mutants Gen 20?
Yeah, there's so many of them.
And then these dogs start attacking her. So she's like, bubbles.
She gets attacked. She throws some bubbles on them.
She does bubble beam. It's super effective.
Pretty effective. She bounces. She's like just like, I don't even think she's playing for the most part. She's not even attacked. She just like kind of skips off like, tra-la-la-la-la. Mm-hmm. Fuck you. So they're still with these, we go back to the Vanaheim people. Mm-hmm. And all the mutants in Vanaheim. And essentially what we get is Danny Moonstar looking great. Whoever drew this, who is the art? Let me go back for reference. So, artist is Diogenes Neves. Oh, man, I butchered that.
Yeah, I'm not even going to try.
But great. I love it.
Yeah, the art's phenomenal.
I'm digging it. So they're going to this. Where are they going right now exactly?
I'm assuming that since they're talking to all these birds, that mm-hmm. she's trying to maybe commune with some sort of like messenger of Odin, or there was a lot of like ravens around.
Yeah.
So I assume that might have been tied to him.
Okay. And they're heading back to their lair, their homestead. But we go back to that girl. And she's just fucking with all the, like, creatures in the area.
Yeah, mythological much. Creatures, just
and
playing.
She's talking to them, playing with them.
You found, like, an ogre, or yeah, troll, I mean.
Pissing them off, or, right?
It's like a giant, I guess.
And,
Or no, yeah, the Jotun.
The Jotun.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
The Jotun. It looks like one of the giants. It's just a different type, or it might be a troll.
A little bit, yeah, it could be. But yeah, that's happening. She's just fucking with people. We go back to the team, and they're just chilling, hanging out, right?
Yeah, just trying to figure out what's going on.
And this is where I think he makes fun of her. I'm trying to look it up. But then Dust comes in. Dust Rude, by the way, just pops in, right?
As a pile of dust.
And so I don't have too much to say about
it. I don't have anything to say about it. I read the whole thing. I couldn't tell you anything about it. I just didn't. And even I was like, oh, these characters would be all interesting by themselves. But together, it just felt like a cacophony of like, why is this happening here?
Yeah.
Like, why are we tangenting? The whole fall thing is supposed to be like knit together as like one whole cohesive story. And it just feels like there's too many other people trying to tell different stories in these crossover events. And that's where
had one cohesive narrative structure throughout, it'd be great, but
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know how this is big. It's a bifurcating crazy and just tangenting crazy that I don't know how they're going to bring this all back together.
I mean, was this like, I guess it was some sort of grandiose plan of Orcus to put them in this realm that causes them to not be able to. It doesn't seem.
But that means they're assuming Saturnine as well, who shows up at the end of this.
Yeah, which was like, to me,
that's
I'm
a
like,
big play.
That was a big nail in the coffin for me when she showed up. I was like, oh, this is going to loop back into Excalibur? Cool. I'm so glad I'm reading this. I'm going to kill myself. Ah, fuck.
But yeah, so we mentioned the curse, we mentioned the White Witch. They're really being vague, right?
It feels like there's like so much more going on that so many of these things pull from so many things now that it's too big for itself. It's bloated on its on its source material. So they're pulling from then it should have been more knit to the X-Men mythos and not so much to the Asgardian stuff.
Yeah, so they show them these statues, and these statues are them, right?
Yeah, they're supposed to be these, well, It alludes to them.
It alludes to them.
That there were four maiden guardians that these four X-Men could represent.
Interesting.
Like, it's a foreshadowing, but it's also one of those ones where it's, like, vague enough where it could be you or it could be... You know, like how Link was always Link, even though they were just talking about a vague hero. Some guy,
yeah.
Just a hero of time, of Hyrule. But it's, like, not necessarily the same guy, just they're all similar.
Yeah, but anyways, when that happens, some eagles come.
Yeah, it turns into a Tolkien novel.
Literally, giant-ass eagles, takes a child. And that's when the little girl comes. And one of the eagles hits her arm, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when she's like, nah, bro. And she literally plucks the feathers from them. Is that her doing that?
I
assume. Maybe? Because she says, ah, pluck you, right?
Maybe that's just...
And then all of a sudden the eagles are... Suddenly,
they have landed.
Featherless, and they just fall to the ground.
They literally landed forcefully.
Yes, and so this kid, he's falling in the river, and you know, he needs to be saved, but she's like, nah, bitch, I'm not handling this. My little cut, my scratch, I can't handle it at all. And that's when we get the appearance of Saturnine, and she's just like, let me ease your pain. And she embraces her, and yeah, that's it. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on.
I got nothing to say. This was the first act of a first issue. This could have been done in the first 7 pages.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been like a side note, like a one shot. I don't know why it's an issue one.
Yeah.
They should have just done the story as like an annual or something and got it all out of the way one just big mm-hmm. shaboom. All I know is my brain couldn't hold on to any of it because I didn't like any of it, so it just filtered out right away.
Yeah, it wasn't a great one. Didn't like that one. Let's move on to Jean Grey, issue number 1 by Louise Simonson. I always like Louise Simonson. His work is usually good.
Yeah. I like both of the Simonsons. They're a great team. They're iconic. They're a powerhouse.
Yeah. And we got Bernard Chang doing the artwork, who did The Monkey King. You like The Monkey King, Danny?
Of course. It was the breakout series of the year.
Yeah.
The Monkey King.
The Monkey King. The art was great, though, in that. And Bernard Chang's art is pretty solid. But let's get into the story, which is just, it has potential, but it's not wowing me at all. Because it's more or less, what we're going to get is like kind of what we got with Moira a little bit. We get this kind of, she's going back and she's trying to change things, right? She's trying to...
I guess.
Make a change. But what is she, back? Is she... Did she go back in time, or is she projecting?
I thought she was just going through her memories, and that she was just trying...
She's trying to figure, like, find something in her memories.
Like, I feel like we've been here before with this, with Jean, and it feels like it's just they're retreading an old trope with her, where she was looking at herself as like a monster. Like, she got this vibe that she was like a monster growing up, and she didn't understand her power, and she didn't understand how to use the Phoenix.
Yeah.
And she's trying to reconcile all of that and find a way to make a difference and turn things around. But really, it was just like, how can we reboot and retell Jean's origin story without having to go back and retcon everything? Even though that's essentially what this is, like a soft reboot
is
of her origin.
Is it a retcon?
I don't know if it's necessarily a retcon. I think it's more of just like a more typing up of her origin.
Is it just like a simulation she's playing out? Because she does change things. She's like, all right, let's go to Magneto. Let's just do fucking neuter this guy real quick.
Well, she was thinking like what she would do in that situation differently.
So it's like, I feel like she's running simulations.
Kind of like, you're right. I guess it is like Moira. Yeah, information. In that sense.
Yeah. But let's get into it. Mm-hmm. Let's get into it. So, Jean Grey dies at mm-hmm. the Hellfire Gala, and we're kind of, she's like there laying down in her moments of death. And she's going through all her memories, more or less.
Yeah.
Seeing everything. And, this is when we go all the way back to First Class, essentially. And when she was, introduced. mm-hmm. more or less, right? So we get Beast. He's not even Beast yet. We get Iceman. We get Warren Worthington, and we get Jean, right?
Yeah.
So we get
the original, original crew.
Come talking, chilling, right? And more or less, what we're gonna see is a lot of the same thing play out. So they're training, right? Then they go and they go and help.
Or have their first encounter with Magneto.
See, now this is when I'm like, I'm wondering what this is. So Jean Grey goes like, I know who you are. I know what's going to happen if I let you continue. You're a terrorist. You're going to destroy everything. And she just destroys his brain, pretty much. Turns mm-hmm. his brain into soup. Yeah. And he is just a shell of a man now. Yeah. Everyone's just like, whoa, Jean. What's up?
Yeah. You getting a little too rough.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's like, nah, that's not great. But they kind of, she's like, we're going to play this, you know? We're going to play this to our advantage. And essentially, we're going to lie. That's what she's pretty much more or less like. We are going to put on the face that we want the public to see, more or less.
Yeah.
And
she takes a manipulative Charles approach where he would like kind of play with things like that.
Exactly. So now this is another thing that's changed. They're in New York City.
Yeah.
Not upstate New York.
Yeah.
So I feel like she's running the crew at this moment. Like things have changed. They went off from Charles because they're going to actually go back and find Charles later. And yeah. They're like, yo, what's up? It's been a while.
Or he's like hanging out with like Paralyzed Magneto. With
Paralyzed Magneto and stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
So it seems like, and then we get even the creation of the Cerebro. And it is a version of the Cerebro from House of X, Powers of X.
Yeah.
That they're kind of sprinkling into the lore because.
The Maker Helmet.
The Maker Helmet. It is the Maker Helmet, straight up.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they get attacked at their base. They want to save a kid. Or let me take that back. They find out about a kid. The kid kind of blows up a building. They go in to save him, and essentially the kid's dead, and they can't save him. Just a moment of like, can't save every mutant.
Yeah, it becomes like a national tragedy. So they have to becomes this big PR nightmare. The Jean has to lean into and fix.
Yeah.
In this weird alternate timeline that she's playing out.
Exactly. So then we cut a little further. We get Trask, right? And Trask is, like, assaulting their X-Men headquarters in New York.
That's a good shot. I like that panel.
That's a great shot. That is, I like that.
Sentinels are blasting the headquarters, and you see it from above, like a bird's eye view.
And it's great. And then we cut a little bit more ahead to where they find out about Kitty Pryde, and again she's just fast forwarding things. She's like, all right, I'm just gonna tell your parents that you're going to boarding school and let's go. We're done.
yeah, they're really fast forward through a lot.
Yeah. And then we get Sam Guffrey, same thing, right?
Yeah,
more or less
after he cannonballs through that fucking helicopter.
Cannonballs right through that shit. So yeah, we're getting some of the people that are still alive in the future or present timeline during the Hellfire Gala. So Sam's alive.
I thought he died because he was one of the new X-Men. And like,
Nimrod, you're right. Like, nope. That theory is completely wrong. So I have no idea. But yeah, this is when they go back to the mansion. They meet up with Charles, who's hanging out with a slower Magneto, but he's starting to come around. Type of situation. And then essentially what we get is what's next. The Phoenix, of course, right?
Yes.
We get some Phoenix. She's like, I'm sad. You know, Mkron crystals are not my jam anymore.
Nope.
Fuck that shit. Cut ahead a little bit more. We get a...
She's dealing with Stryker. Reverend Stryker.
Yes, Reverend Stryker. She handles that quickly, deals with him.
Burns him alive.
Just burns him. Yeah. It's great. Just incinerates him.
Yep.
And then this is where we get essentially the X-Men kind of coming together with Charles and Magneto.
Trying to stop her.
Yeah, with a bunch of too far. Cerebro helmets.
Yeah, they have the modified version of that helmet that she had originally.
Primo. I just noticed that.
Yeah, hey, right there on the side.
Nice.
Product Park.
Product Park. So they're trying to take her down, right? More or less, we get Sam Worthington. Everyone's just trying to take her down. Everyone's trying to get in her brain.
Everyone's trying to attack her while Charles gets in her brain.
Okay,
their helmets block her power.
Her helmets, they block powers, and then Charles.
It's like they combine Cerebro with Magneto's helmet.
But she's like, nah, none of this. And she just incinerates the entire area, destroying all of the X-Men. And out of the flames comes a spaceship, which that's a little confusing.
That's a spaceship that probably was the same one when she became Phoenix. Yeah. So maybe they're finally catching up to that part.
And okay.
Little Andrew's like, I'm here to warn you about the Phoenix. Oh.
Oh, shit. No.
Whoops.
Oops.
I'm late.
But that's Charles? Where this issue ends. That issue is very confusing. I don't know what's happening.
I don't even like the fact that there's a Jean Grey issue one, like, fucking right after she died. I'm so fucking tired of that shit. The rebrand, everybody did it. Literally, Ms. Marvel did that right before. Yeah, they were like, it was her issue one after they killed her and resurrected her.
Yeah.
Which, thank goodness, that was before Fall of X, or how else would they write that MacGuffin in?
They're just not giving a fuck. They're all like, it's back again. Deaths are back in.
We missed one egg. One egg that was perfect, and we're saving it for you. Not all these legacy characters. We need movie characters in our X-Men comic books that aren't even X-Men.
All right, let's move on to our final issue of the day, and that is X of Dark of Fall of Men. Right? Is that what this is called?
It's Dark X-Men, and Dark it X-Men. Feels like they cribbed from Dark Justice League, because they did this whole, like, occult twist on Dark X-Men. X-Men's not typically occulty in its approach. It's more of just, these are reformed bad guys that are X-Men.
I get a lot of old Brotherhood vibes.
Yeah,
Morlocks with her kind of bringing.
Actually, Brother Mutants is a good. That's a good.
Yeah, a lot of like throwbacks to that.
I just feel that the backdrop being Limbo and the occult stuff being the focus makes it very much like they're using the Dark Justice League kind of.
A little bit. I get it.
And that's become pretty popular in the recent years, especially with those animated series or animated movies and what have you.
For sure.
Yeah, but yeah, this is a weird take. It's definitely not even remotely close to the last time we saw the Dark X-Men. There's no Mimic.
This is going to be an interesting team up. We'll see how it goes.
It is. They bring in some interesting choices.
We got Steve Fox writing, Jonas Scharf as the artist, and we got Steven Segovia and Frank Martin doing the cover.
Oh, Segovia's good.
Yeah, I like Segovia.
It's a good cover, too.
It's great.
Though
cover.
It's a bit of a fake out with that. Cyborg Wolverine. But.
Albert. Remember Albert? Well, we'll get into it.
Yeah.
All right. So we started off, right, with Madeline Pryor, and she's in limbo. She's all
not
like,
literally. Or like, literally, not literally, figuratively.
No, yeah. She's literally in limbo, limboing it up, hanging out with death.
See how low she can go.
And she wakes up. And when she wakes up, she's with Havoc, right? And they're just doing their thing. Where
hanging out like, there, what is known as the limbo... I guess it's their embassy. It's their political limbo embassy.
So,
so it's like you can get asylum there, or mutants can be. It's super weird.
Yeah. So they're hanging out, and what are they kind of talking about, Danny? Before she leaves.
Well, they're setting up the fact that he has to handle the business end while she's like schmoozing with like the people who will be joining them essentially, or vying for her spot of power. So she's like. Consolidating the power while he's busy handling the paperwork, essentially. Yeah. Literally the paperwork. And it's chaotic, but who else could handle it but Havoc?
Yeah, boy. Well, we got, she walks out the bedroom and into the main lobby where it feels like a lot of, like, the old Morlock stories where we get a lot of these unknowns, rejects kind of just hanging out.
Not even C-listers.
No. And, we go to...
Well, that part's cool where she goes to her little realm of
her
own Cerebro that she made from, like, bones and, like, demonic technology.
We see this,
Demon tech.
she makes this like weird Cerebro thing that we don't know it's Cerebro. Oh yeah,
no, Havoc makes a comment. Yes. And he's like, "That's one metal ass Cerebro you built there," and she's like, "Right, isn't it fucking tits?"
Yeah, she pops that on. She's like, yeah, she pops, check this shit out. And
she's like, "Now I can use my psychic powers metal. Demonically." Woo. Metal,
yeah, metal.
I'm like, this is so confusing. Everything bleeds into everything. Yeah. They just like, we can re-tech anything. Let's get Forge in here.
But we cut away to Queens. Okay. Yeah.
Let me stop if you heard this before. There's mutants on the run. Mm-hmm. And there's government agencies trying to track them. Mm-hmm. And they're at a safe house, and they think they're safe, but it turns out
they're not.
They're not safe.
Oh boy.
Oh man.
I mean, that's a pretty.
That is.
You can't trust anyone. That's
I'm just bound saying that this is. They've like shot for shot done this scene like 40 times. It's a Dixie comics. So tired of it. Oh, jeez, and we got to communicate with our cell phones. Now we got callers on us, and they're taking them.
Yeah.
But guess what? But
this time, see, Danny, this is where you get it wrong.
Uh-huh.
It's never been done by Orcus before.
Oh.
It's been done by the Brotherhood. Yes, it has, technically, because the people that
are employed by Orcus were a part of these schemes in their own right, because they're all X-Men... Rogues Gallery fucking hate groups. Yeah. Like, they've all committed these acts the same. And then the same thing happens where they're transporting the people who got busted or caught. Mm-hmm. They get rescued by, like, A-listers. Your classic. Typicals. You get your Gambit and, like, Archangel here, for crying out. Well, with also... Was
Maggot.
It Maggot?
Maggot.
That was a bit of a twist. That was Susan at the end where they were like, let's give you a little bit of a little juice squeeze.
Maggot here. What do you know about Maggot?
I know more than I should. God damn
but
it.
Yeah, so like she's on the run in the truck, and that's when we get a silhouette of Gambit. And then Warren Worthington comes out, opens up the truck. We get a little attack, and that's Warren met with Gambit, Warren, and... good old Japheth, Maggot himself. His name's Japheth, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. This is your mutant freedom force.
This is it.
I don't understand this, because the rule was mutants have to get off Earth, right? Or all the humans die, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Everyone dies, technically, because everyone who has the compound in them.
Yeah.
So what? How does this skirt that?
They're clearly calling their bluff, and they're not doing it. Right, because so, right there, like,
I mean,
they attacked an Orcus. All one person has to go is like mutant found, and then the whole thing about
Charles, and he's like, I killed all the mutants. It's like, this kind of makes this seem silly. With like Gambit was just like, yeah, we didn't go. We're here now. Maggot's here.
But yeah, while they're rescuing these children, we get one of the officers just like kicking this dude, and he's like, wake up, come on, do something. And that's when we get what looks like Wolverine coming out, right?
Yeah,
attacking Warren and
Gambit.
Remy, yeah. And so they go into battle again. Warren gets fucking snicked
to the ground.
Snicked to the ground, and reinforcements come in. We get
Sentinels.
We get some sentinels and
drop
all that.
Ships, more Orcus soldiers, and then they reveal it's not regular Wolverine. It's
robot Wolverine, aka Albert.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
The one that they tried to introduce in Logan, but still didn't quite work because they just made it young CG Wolverine, which reminds you of Origins Wolverine, and it was like,
boy.
That was the weaker part of it. And then he killed Charles in the weirdest way, where he's just like an old man, mm-hmm. like. Frail, just like, oh, hey, Wolverine, what do you do? Oh, I'm dead, I'm old.
Another
so weird.
Thing that Donald Pierce made that turned on him.
Yep. Donald Pierce and his cybernetics. He loves his cybernetics tend to go south.
Yeah. So, yeah, we got Albert here. Mm-hmm. Good old robot Wolverine.
He's like a Deathlock Wolverine.
He is kind of like a Deathlock Wolverine. And so they're here. I keep saying they're here. They're here, Danny. They're here.
They're here.
So they're here, and they're here as well. And then they're here, and then they're here. But
and
no.
then, yeah, Dark X-Men are here because this is all going south, and so the Dark X-Men pop in. And Madeline's like, to me, my Dark X-Men. She doesn't say that, but it feels like it's one of those.
The X-Men are here.
She says that, but it's the same kind of moment.
With her team of X-Men, we get a Banff coming in from Azrael.
Yep.
What's he been up to? I haven't seen him really.
I don't know. Avoiding spending time with his son.
Definitely.
He should visit Nightcrawler more. He misses him.
She's like, oh my God, him and his Jesus. God damn, I can't handle it.
I mean, he's into his mutant Jesus now? I don't even know. Did Nightcrawler ever create a new religion, or did he go just tap out on that? He just worships Legion now, right?
It's something? Like a Legion thing now, yeah. It's part all of the about Legion. The Legion.
But then yes. We got Havoc, and then
who else?
Amulet or something. Okay. It's M's brother, right?
Yeah. I don't.
It's one of the St. Clairs. That's Zero. Who was one of the Ray is what they call him sometimes too, but he was one of the five lights that came out after Hope was reintroduced when they started like being able to make mutants again.
Uh-huh.
He was one. He was the first one besides. I think he was the first one.
Oh.
And so, like, they created a little team with him and Hope and a bunch of other, like, new people that they discovered. Like, that one girl who could control fire and ice, and her name was, like, Oro or something like that, and she bonded with Storm.
Kenji Ueno.
Yeah, he's like an Akira kind of... He's like an Akira kind of pastiche.
Okay.
Because he likes to meld, like, flesh and metal and make weird, crazy things. He's pretty powerful, but yeah, he's definitely he was like a rival to Hope at one point, so that was cool to see him return.
Because
the Five Lights was like a little blip before Avengers versus X-Men,
right?
And then I mean, honestly, that's when I was like, all right, I'm done here. This was his story was probably the last story where I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Her going around making her own team. They had like a guy that kind of reminded me of Beast. They had like a few people that were very interesting, like that lady who could control fire and ice. Mm-hmm. So it was cool, but this is weird because I haven't seen him in anything in a long time, and I think they forgot about him, and they were like, let's bring him back.
Generation Hope.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, that was the Five Lights arc. Because they were the new blips on Cerebro.
Right.
Because everyone was just like, what? A new mutants are born.
I'll have to go back. Apparently he's been in the helping Storm too recently in X-Men Red. So who knows what's going on there.
Yeah, because they're on Mars.
They're on Mars, yeah.
That's a little better, but still. Still.
Right. X-Men Blue is coming.
What, do they be on the moon again?
Who knows?
I'll tell you who doesn't know. Havoc. He doesn't know that he's about to get shanked.
He wants to have a conversation.
Albert over here just puts up.
Albert's just like, how about no?
I'm going to put three holes in your fucking
right
neck.
Right through your neck.
Yeah, it's like right above the collarbone, yeah.
Right in the trachea.
Yep, all trach.
Oh, and that's when Madeline, she freaks out. She starts burning people. And
she uses like her magic to like crush poor Albert.
Yeah,
like,
Albert's
ball.
Just like, right around. He's like, yeah.
Crunch.
And, she's just kind of holding Alex, and Alex is dead.
Well,
he's dying.
Well, he's bleeding out pretty
he's
bad.
He's bleeding out, and he's not going to make it.
This ending was confusing here, because, like, who's supposed to be in that?
They capture Warren.
They capture Warren, uh-huh. And then this part at the end where they, the next page, where...
Yeah.
In there with him, or where is she captured at too? Is she just like infiltrating?
She's wherever this location is.
She's like on the outside looking in. Yes. They found she just found like a big window to be like, Madeline's here.
Yes.
I'm here to rescue Warren.
So,
which is sad that they end there because that seemed like it was a good spot to build up for one more fight.
I don't know. Okay, so let's talk about this. But first, let's wrap this up. So he's about to die, and so they kind of essentially Azrael bamps him out of here, but they miss Warren. So Warren's left, and that's when we get this scene.
Uh-huh.
Warren is kind of being taken away. He's been captured, and he's in this
it's like
place.
A float. It's like it looks like the pod they put like someone in when they die in Star Trek.
Starship
Troopers even.
Yes, those little pods.
Yeah.
But that's when we get like he looks one of these evil people look over and we get this demon goblin queen, and also like this.
That's
which,
some sort of...
I don't know what that is, if that has to do with anything.
Some
it?
Demon of hers, I
but
guess.
I know...
Something that looks scary.
Some people speculate that this is actually Madeline Pryor, and what we've seen so far hasn't been.
So wait, this is her trapped, and she wants out.
Or this is a clone. Maybe someone else is cloning.
I mean, technically...
They're playing with cloning stuff.
Right?
Especially, look at this thing. It kind of looks like... It has Nightcrawler's kind of hand. I wonder if they're playing with mutant genes at all.
Weird.
I don't know.
Weird...
She also has a...
Well, that's her original Goblin Queen form. That's just like with when you're... That's her limbo form. Because remember, magic takes the same kind of appearance. When she goes into her limbo form, she grows the hooves and the wings. But they're could be clones. Clones of clones.
Who knows? Yeah, who knows?
Because, I mean, Madeline Pryor is already a clone of Jean Grey, so why not have a clone of her?
Clone of clones.
And then she had that whole conversation with, like, Ben Reilly at one point, which was weird.
That's fine.
Clones comforting clones.
All the Ben Reillys meet with all the Jeans and Madelines. But yeah, we get this little side story, which I actually didn't read. Did you read this?
Yeah, it's how they iron out the whole... They make the dumb joke about Havoc, and they explain why the team was built.
Okay.
Because it's, in the side story, you get like Havoc doing all the paperwork, trying to bring people in. They decide on who can come to Limbo and get Asylum. And that's when she has her conversation with Ben Reilly.
And that's when she meets Ben Reilly.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he says, well, fuck you, because you messed with me. I don't like you. And she's like, all right, well... I guess I didn't need you for my plan anyways, and walks off.
And they walk away.
Like, what was the point of this?
Just to introduce Ben Reilly.
Just to pull in more clones. And then
gotta get those clones,
and then
man.
It ends with, like, revealing that girl is there that they need to save. That was getting abducted, that Gambit and the others rescued.
Right.
It also dives into the fact that she's manipulating Havoc, because Havoc's someone who's so desperate. Yep, there he is. He's someone so desperate for, like, attention and... importance that he's allowing himself to be used in this position, and she knows it, and so they kind of highlight that.
Okay.
But it just shows him running the business of Limbo, their Limbo emissary, or their embassy, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just maintaining all that stuff, and she's going around trying to broker deals with people who want to take Limbo from her, and she's trying to lock that in so they don't. If she can't, then she just kills them. Typically, she comes back covered in blood, and and fucking Havoc's like, oh my god, is this going to give me more paperwork? And she's like, no, don't worry, he's dead. He's like, all right.
Good old paperwork. But yeah, that ends this issue. Probably the only interesting one, or at least some moderate
better.
Things happened in this. I enjoyed it to a certain extent. Other two, oh boy.
Yeah, those two are.
Oh boy, those were rough. Those were rough ones. Jean Grey was confusing. Realm of X, yeah. I don't know if I could continue with that.
Well, regardless, this all feels like we've been here before.
It definitely seems like we're treading the same thing.
Some kind of like plot notes, the same kind of X-Men on the Run kind of stuff that doesn't feel like it has weight because you've seen it 20 times. So you're like, well, is it? I mean, am I really that concerned about Bishop on the Run in his clothes?
His red
his
jacket.
Regular fucking getup? Like, yeah. I don't... This doesn't feel like there's any weight.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like heightened stakes. The
don't
stakes
feel
are
like
not...
A fall is happening.
It doesn't feel like it's falling. It feels like it's lightly, like...
Floating in the air.
Fluttering,
yeah.
If you will. It's like maybe stuck in perpetual motion.
Yeah, it
can't
gravity.
Even go anywhere. It's weightless. It's not weighed down by gravity.
Yeah, it's not weighed down whatsoever. different video. that'll do it for us this week. Be sure to catch us next week where we will talk about... What are we talking about? I don't even know. I think maybe it'll be like the fall of the return... Of the Ben Reilly.
The standing up of X after you've fallen.
Oh, yeah, we can stand. The floating of X, because that's what we're doing.
Stand of X.
Yeah.
Float of X, yeah, there you go.
But that'll do it for us this week, folks. Remember, the robots will kill you. So don't fall for a demon girl that's going to use you because you fell in love with a different girl that also your brother stole from you.
Awkward.
What is up, fellow humans, mutants, and geeks alike? If you like this content, be sure to check out freespeechgeek.com, where we have a lot more content like this. Unlike other geek content sites, we focus on the minimal. That's right, we are talking about Mobile Suit Gundam and X-Men are our specialties, and that is it. Along with that, we do comic book convention coverage along with comic book panel coverage. So if you want to see more of that, be sure to check out Free Speech Geek on social media as well as freespeechgeek.com.